This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1448. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded February 19th, BBC Outsourcing, KCBS is 100, U.S.-Azerbaijan quid pro quo, obituaries from Canada and Norfolk Island, program tips from India and Russia, Happy Station Revival, and the Propagation Outlook. BBC World Service moving out of London. That's one headline, but not exactly, but they're certainly diversifying. There was a report in Media Guardian via KimAndrewElliott.com, which led Kai Ludwig to make that remark. He says, for this move, the BBC is setting up rather extensive studio facilities in Delhi, including four fully equipped live studios, or in BBC speak, cubicles. Andy Sennett, via DX Listening Digest, elucidates. Of course, BBC World Service is not moving out of London, but it is reducing the number of London-based positions for its South Asian services and moving more jobs to Delhi, which will greatly reduce labor costs. This plan has been on the cards for several years already, and naturally the unions oppose it. The reasons given by BBC World Service for relocating are disingenuous. The BBC has been able to cover breaking news in South Asia quite adequately for many decades from London. The real reason for the change is much lower labor costs, at a time when the BBC is looking to launch an Urdu TV channel. Obviously, the chances of gaining significant extra funding from the government have nosedived because of the economic crisis. Well, I'm now able to view BBC television news via the secondary channel from public TV in Oklahoma at 2230 UT, and I can't help but notice that that is anchored not from London, but from Washington, even more outsourcing by BBC World Service. What is the world coming to? I have an opportunity to watch BBC News and other programming not available before because of the digital TV transition, at least here in Oklahoma. As I mentioned last week, the affair has been quite confused with a number of stations postponing their transition until June 12th, which really means postponing turning off their analog signals, but they're already broadcasting in digital. In many markets, something called the nightlight service has been required by the FCC. I'm not quite sure why they call it that. But as it turns out in Oklahoma, we have not one, but two channels in Oklahoma City running a 9-minute exposition produced by the NAB about how to handle the transition to digital TV for those who still haven't figured out that they need a set-top box. Furthermore, this is not only in English, but another version saying the same thing in Spanish. And I understand that stations all over the U.S. are required to do it bilingually. Even near the Canadian border, still Spanish, no French. These nightlight services are extremely boring and repetitive programming, but I suppose they will have to last about 1 month on the stations carrying them. There is a lot more discussion about the DTV transition and its ramifications in DX Listening Digest 9015 via worldofradio.org. Those who believe the KDKA legend that it was the first broadcast station in 1920 may be somewhat surprised that another station is celebrating its 100th anniversary already in 2009, KCBS in San Francisco. Mike Hawkins on the IRCA list points out they have a lot of content on their website now about their 100th anniversary, www.kcbs.com. I haven't had time to look through it, but I assume they are tracing their ancestry back to a previous experimental or shore-to-ship transmitter. Raul Saavedra in Costa Rica was hearing something new on 1660 kHz in the X-band, February 13th at 0900 UT. A station playing oldies back-to-back. No such format shown on the X-band listings for North America, so some station must have changed. It was also being monitored in the UK by members of the Medium Wave Circle, who determined it was WCNZ in Marco Island, Florida, which had been carrying the relevant radio religious format. But now they say your true oldies station, actually not only that, but two others, AM 1410 in Fort Myers, AM 1660 in Naples, they said, rather than Marco Island, and AM 1380 on Marco Island. So there's been a bit of shuffling around in southern Florida. Barry Davies points out that the oldies format may be just stunting pending a switch to a more permanent format such as Spanish. Travers Devine reports on February 18th, hearing WWRB streaming Global One on their website in MP3 and AUG format at 16 kbps. At first it sounded like a feed was taken from shortwave radio complete with fading, but later on it may have been coming straight from the board. The usual religious hucksters both times, but surprisingly not including Brother Scare. So one more shortwave station has added an alternative medium for hearing them. Let's hope that includes the big band music that Dave France likes to fill time with. Although at 16 kbps, it may not be too hi-fi. A press release from Voice of America says they've launched its first satellite TV program for Burma, bringing fresh news and info to those people in one of the world's most restrictive media environments. It's the Burmese weekly TV magazine, aired on Sunday mornings local time and repeated during the week. Unfortunately, no details about exactly how to get it via satellite, but they do claim that about 12% of urban households in Burma have satellite dishes. From the Turan News Agency in Baku, Azerbaijan, in Russian, February 11th, via BBC Monitoring, the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors held fruitful talks in Baku over VOA broadcasts and BBC programs in Azerbaijan, according to U.S. Ambassador Anne Durse. She said, as proposed by Azerbaijan, BBG had advanced its proposals, especially the preliminary version of a draft of an intergovernmental agreement. The issues of resuming foreign radio broadcasts in their previous form were reflected, and the draft gives Azerbaijani broadcasters the chance to broadcast their programs in Azeri and English on the USA's FM frequencies, as well as shortwave and medium wave. The ambassador said this would have allowed the American audience to get acquainted with info about Azerbaijan and its culture, and was hoping the talks would end successfully. Well, this seems rather strange, since the U.S. government does not have the power to put foreign broadcasters on USA FM frequencies, which are privately owned. But possibly she may be able to influence some US FM station to put on Azerbaijani broadcasts for the benefit of the US being able to get back on the air in Azerbaijan. And it's hard to imagine IBB shortwave transmitters anywhere carrying Azerbaijan programs, but that could be done as another price of getting back on the air in Azerbaijan. The speculation of a quid pro quo comes from KimAndrewElliott.com. See his blog around February 11th. Those nasty distorted spurs from Brazil's Amazon service on 11780 have appeared again. UT Sunday, February 15th. This is when they're most obvious, but I suppose they happen elsewhere, because they're on the air all night. And thus, for example, at 0630 UT, we were hearing these extremely distorted spurs, 50 kilohertz either side of 11780, on 11730 bothering New Zealand, 5 kilohertz down, and on 11830 exactly interfering with France in Portuguese via South Africa. Well, perhaps something will be done about this, if nothing else than replacing the transmitters, putting out the spurs. There was a report a few months ago that RNA would be buying new transmitters in February. From the Globe and Mail, February 12th, via Dan Say, an obituary for Betty Zimmerman. We may not know too much about the people actually managing shortwave stations, but she was one of them, Radio Canada International, one of the first female executives in Canadian broadcasting. The obit says she extended its mandate in the 1980s and 90s and breaking barriers for women in her field. She was one of those no-nonsense, focused women who broke through the glass ceiling, says Michael McEwen. She was a pioneer. She held various positions in the CBC until 1979, reaching the pinnacle of her broadcasting career, appointed director of Radio Canada International. During her 10-year tenure at RCI, she tried very hard to keep the shortwave service independent of the agenda of the Department of External Affairs and expanded RCI's range to include Asia and the Pacific Rim in several languages. She retired in 1989. And died January 26th after a stroke combined with complications from lung cancer at the age of 85. DXMIX News Bulgaria reports that Croatian radio home service relay is changing frequency as of February 18th. Between 0858 and 1357 UT on 7370 non-directional, replacing 9830. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany, Kai Ludwig in Germany, and Noel Green in the UK say it's about time, as 9830 has really been too high, skipping over most of Europe. Meanwhile, Terry Toop tells us that some scheduled English broadcasts have been missing from Croatian radio. 2330 UT, the 7375 relay started via Germany on February 15th and 16th, without any English news on 3985 at 2315. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain forwards a report from a Dentro-Cuban website, cubaperiodistas.cu, about Radio and TV Martí. This appears to be speculation, but they think that TV Martí may be closed down on May 20th in order to preserve Radio Martí still on the air. We'll see if that happens. This could be as a result of the Obama administration wanting to close it down or at least cut it back, but the Cuban-American delegation in Congress will do what it can to save as much of Martí as possible. As I mentioned last week, the much-awaited Desecheo Island expedition is underway using the call sign K5D. I heard them on 14190, but you have to hang loose because the frequency is subject to change if there's some interference or conflict. See my commentary in DX Listening Digest 9015 about how to make de-expeditioning a little more interesting by including a few factoids in the contacts besides 5 and 9. Furthermore, wouldn't it be nice when hams go to all that trouble and expense to put a rare island on the ham bands if they would bring along a transmitter to put a shortwave broadcast station on the air temporarily? It could be licensed experimentally, at least under U.S. jurisdiction. According to 425DX News, the Desecheo team consists of 22 operators, 8 of them remaining on the island through February 26th. Another 7 leaving on the 19th, replaced by the third group of 7. Last week we mentioned yet another new clandestine for Eritrea called Voice of Asena, A-S-E-N-A, which started February 16th, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 17:30 to 18 on 9610 via Samara, Russia, according to DXMIX News Bulgaria. Not much chance to hear that in most of North America due to Radio Canada International on the same frequency. But on the island of Jutland in Sweden, Bjorn Fransson heard them and has already received confirmation. He says the director and founder, Emmanuel Eyasu, says, "I was the first to send them feedback through a detailed report." By the way, the name Asena means you're happy about something, which I guess they are, being on the air. They have a website with a different spelling of the name, www.awsenna.com. Standard disclaimer, the media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio number 1448. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Our thanks this week for financial support go to Larry and Jane Will in Maryland, who sent a donation via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. And they say it's a great privilege to run your show on Area 51. Thanks for the effort you put into World of Radio and DX Listening Digest. We're on Area 51 via WBCQ UT Saturdays at midnight on 5110. Or if you prefer, 6 p.m. Fridays Central Time. All India Radio Shillong on 4970, reported by Ron Howard in California, February 15th at 1347 to 1434, with an English program about health and nutrition. They said, win an attractive prize provided by the Food and Nutrition Board of the Ministry of Woman Something or Other, Government of India. They gave an address in New Delhi. Then some pop songs in English, into vernacular and subcontinental music, but many local IDs and fair reception. This was also heard the next day by David Walcott in Eugene, Oregon, reporting to the NASWA Yahoo Group at 1425, February 16th. English and Hindu talk, but low modulation level. Some romantic Bollywood songs. No news on our half hour, just some romantic Indian songs. And the periods of dead air, up to 38 seconds. But at 1445, here at an ID, the Northeastern service of All India Radio, broadcasting from Shillong, on the frequency 60.36 meters shortwave. Then news headlines and another ID and a spotlight on Jim Reeves. Several more selections by the same singer. Ron Howard replies, glad to see someone else listening to my favorite All India Radio station. It's great they give so many local IDs and I like the wide variety of music they play. For me, it's the strongest AIR on 60 meters, which makes it enjoyable to listen to on a regular basis in California. In BCLnews.it, Roberto Scaglioni in Sicily reports that the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran seems to have resumed its relays via Sitkona in Lithuania, notably the Italian hour at 0730 on 9770, as well as Russian at 1430 on 3960, German at 1730 on 6180, French at 1830, and English at 1930 on 6115, and Spanish at 2030 on 6055. NBCDX Sigitas Ilionis of Lithuania confirms that IRIB was suspended only temporarily and it resumed on February 12th. Lithuania is also still carrying KBC radio on 6055 daily at 21:30 to 22:30. And Wolfgang Büschel corrects that time for Italian on 9770. It's 0630, not 0730 UT. There's been a lot of action lately on the Happy Station Yahoo group. First, Mark Fossmeyer reported that a recording of an old open house program, number 6, is available. It originally aired 37 years ago, a variety show produced by Tom Meyer. Actually, Open House came under the heading of Happy Station. This eventually led to Keith Perrone saying, I'm putting together a special Happy Station tribute program presented by myself, and he invited people to contribute messages and so forth, just like the old Happy Station, for listener participation. It seems that Keith Perrone, you may remember the name, previously worked for Radio Canada International, Radio Havana Cuba, and CNR in China, I think, rather than CRI, but he was doing English programming. Now he appears to be in Taiwan, and further posts from him say, I've discovered that the first transmission of PCJ, Philips Radio, to the Dutch East Indies took place on March 11th, 1927. So it would be a fitting tribute to Edward Starts and Tom Meyer for their years of broadcasting to the world, Smiles Across the Miles, to have the first new Happy Station program air on Wednesday, March 11th. Well, he was still putting it together, but it plans for it to be on WRMI 9955. No time apparently set just yet, but no doubt there will be further publicity. So, a revived Happy Station with Keith Perrone. And he says Radio Netherlands has given him permission to use the Happy Station show as a name. And, of course, Tom Meyer himself is aware of this and may also be heard on the new show. Mauricio Molano in Spain is especially interested in the history of radio call signs. And he says, during many years I've been accustomed to see Nicaraguan stations having call signs of four letters, such as YNRS, Radio Sandino, YNRC, Radio Católica. So it was a big surprise when I discovered these call signs are no longer valid. YNRS has become YNA3LS, and YNRC is now YNA3RC. This is not a recent change. There are some other new call signs issued in 1999. The Telcor government site contains many license files. Not all of them are available, and it's not updated regularly. But I did extract data a few months ago, and he has quite a long list of medium wave stations by frequency in Nicaragua, showing many of them with these new call signs containing a number. Can't imagine why that is even less a way to brand the stations, shall we say, and I wonder if any of them actually announce them. You can see this list in DX Listening Digest 9012 via worldofradio.org. A Silent Key, Jim Smith, VK9NS, is reported in 425 DX News via Dave Raycroft, ODXA. The DX community worldwide mourns the loss of James B. Smith, VK9NS, who passed away peacefully on Norfolk Island February 10th after a short illness. He was first licensed in 1947 in Singapore as VS1BQ. Over 60 years, Jim operated under a large number of call signs and from many countries, including new and rare DXCC entities. The stories of a number of his DX operations can be found at the Heard Island DX Association website, www.hidxa.nlk.nf. In 1986, he was inducted into the CQDX Hall of Fame. And another tribute to VK9NS is on the Documentary Archive Radio Communication website, www.dokufunk.org/VK9NS. In the last few weeks, we've been reporting about some strange relays of Palestinian TV channels on shortwave. Al-Aqsa on 5815 and 5835, and then Al-Quds on 6220. I was wondering if they are still running, since they're pretty hard to hear in North America. Our correspondent in Cairo, Tarek Zaidan, says it sounds like whoever was transmitting these TV networks decided to stop. I've been trying to hear them as of February 15th and not getting those frequencies anymore. I guess it was just a trial to get a voice out of Gaza to the world. We're still trying to figure out where these were actually transmitted from. Iran seems to be most likely due to political connections, although Jose Miguel Romero points out that these transmissions coincided rather nicely with the absence of other shortwave broadcasts from Lithuania, which have just resumed since then. But Kai Ludwig says that is propagationally unlikely. Fred Waterer, in his Programming Matters column for Listening In of the Ontario DX Association, writes a personality profile for Estelle Winters of the Voice of Russia, who has perhaps the most distinctive female voice on the air since Lucy Pravdina at that station. She is a self-described Brit who started working at VOR in 1990 when it was still Radio Moscow and has been with the station ever since. She can be heard on a few shows, principally Science Plus and Timelines, an interview program. She brings a pleasant style and subtle sense of humor to VOR. Science Plus is a straight science and tech program lots of space-related subjects. It is currently on the schedule Mondays at 11 minutes past 7 and 17, Wednesdays past 5 and 17, and Thursdays at 0411. Fred says, perhaps my favorite VOR program is Timelines, at least tied with the jazz show of Carl Watts. Timelines can be heard in North America on Mondays at 02:31 and Saturdays at 05:31 and at other times worldwide. Each week, Estelle brings an interview with someone from abroad who's living in Moscow or visiting. Fascinating insights into the way people see life in the Russian capital. Timelines used to be the only new thing back in 1992. Now it's one of the best things every weekend without fail, with British radio personality Estelle Winters chatting with all ranks from all over the globe about Moscow and its vast surroundings. Well, that last bit, I think, is a quotation from their website. Besides the times mentioned, it's also on Saturdays at 15:31, Sundays at 7:31, 9:31, and 17:31 UT. Fred concludes, unlike the old Radio Moscow, Estelle and Timelines presents Moscow warts and all. She has a great interviewing style, asks pointed questions, but also has a delightful sense of humor. There's been quite a controversy between BBC World Service and the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation over the censorship, as BBC considers it, of some of their programming, which SLBC is contracted to broadcast not only in English, but in Sinhala and Tamil. The Media Network blog quotes Reuters on February 10th that the Sri Lanka's government defended selective use of BBC programming, but BBC had said it would no longer provide FM programming to SLBC because of this. The problem was that there were quotations or actual voice recordings of the Tamil Tigers leader Prabhakaran, which they just could not countenance in Colombo. Kai Ludwig says, it makes me wonder how safe the operation of the American Iranawila and the German Trincomalee transmitter sites is in Sri Lanka. Should they resist broadcasting material that might be viewed as supporting the Tamil Tigers? Otherwise, what could happen? Would Deutsche Welle and VOA stand for any such threats? Last week we reported that Radio Damascus Syria had resumed using 12085 kHz, at least for some of their broadcasts to Europe. But now Steve Wood in Massachusetts reports to NASWA that they were even using that frequency for the English broadcast heard at 2008 UT on February 16th. Slight hum on the signal and some fading, but overall a good signal. Readability was 80 to 90%. Imagine that from Damascus. Nothing audible on the other frequency then, 9330. Previously, they had been off the air completely during that English hour, resuming at 2100. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued February 17th. ANK indices mostly 5 and 2, peaking at 12 and 4 February 21st and March 13th. Solar flux still steady at 70 through March 16th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1448.